I want to wrap up this Royals Wall trade and couldn't think of anybody better to do it than Stephen Higdon from CrawfishBoxes.com, which is one of my favorite blogs in the city and can break this stuff down better than anybody. And he's got a real nice post on the trade and what it means long term. Stephen, thanks for joining us, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, we'd love to have you on more often, but the Astros have sucked so much this year. Well, at least we have a trade to talk about.
It gives us something to be interesting about.
The key name, I think, here is Brett Wallace. And tell us a little bit about him. And does this, and I think you kind of hinted at it in your post today, but is this kind of the end for Lance Berkman?
Well, Brett Wallace has been a centerpiece in a number of trades over the last few seasons. Highly touted first base prospect when he was younger. People have sort of have cooled on him a little bit. He's definitely going to be probably a league average first baseman. Nothing to write home about, but definitely serviceable and definitely cheap. And I think the writing on the wall with that one is if Ed Waite goes and gets him after the original Philadelphia deal is over, it means Berkman's probably not going to get his option picked up. A lot of buzz is going on about whether or not he gets traded before Saturday.
Stephen Higdon, our guest for CrawfishBoxes.com. Stephen, should they stop here? Or if they can move Berkman, they probably would. But what about Myers? Couldn't they get a prospect or two for him as well?
I mean, Myers is definitely sort of our sexiest trade piece of all because he's really cheap this year. And he's been a workhorse and a workhorse that's excelled. So he seems to be untouchable. I think that Ed Waite is looking at Brett Myers as possibly someone we get on a long-term deal, maybe be the foundation of our rotation. You know, once some of, you know, Jordan Lyles and Dallas Kutchel, and they're already down on the farm. We got someone up top to complement Felipe Paulino and the younger guys. So, Myers would be a good guy to move. I don't think that he gets moved. I know that he's entertaining a lot of offers on Berkman. As to whether or not they can work it out, that remains to be seen. But I'm of the opinion that after you move Roy Oswalt, there's really no point to hold on to Lance Berkman any longer. Let's see what we can get some more depth in the farm system, and really kickstart the rebuilding process. But, whether or not Lance Berkman's an Astro after Saturday, I don't think he's an Astro after September.
What about Brett Myers? I know that. I mean, you said that it's unlikely, but really, the Astros have nothing to gain from keeping him this year. I know he's been a workhorse and he's done good for them, but he's a commodity to other teams. Are they not looking at it that way?
He is a commodity to other teams, and that's for sure. But while the Astros don't have a lot to gain from him in terms of his actual performance, the fact that he does eat a lot of innings and keeps the bullpen rested and takes some of the stress off the younger guys, I think is something that's valuable long-term for us and keeping, you know, those arms fresh and ready to go. He's in the prime of his career right now. Three or four years down the road, he's still going to be serviceable. He's still going to be good. So I think that he does have some value, just not as much as we necessarily would like. But I think that's what's going to hold Ed Waite back.
Any interest in trading away either one of those the late inning reliever guys?
We haven't heard a lot about Matt Lindstrom. Matt Capps got moved last night for a very, very valuable prospect from the Twins. You have to imagine that Matt Lindstrom, who has performed much better than Capps has, and is younger and will be, you know, under team control for longer, has to be a more valuable pick, but no real buzz about that. So that's interesting because Matt Lindstrom's definitely not doing anything for the Astros right now because you don't really need a great closer when you're going to lose 60-70% of your games.
Stephen Higdon, our guest for CrawfishBoxes.com. Terrific, terrific website if you haven't checked it out. The other prospect that the Astros got, tell us a little bit about him and what's the upside for Jonathan Villar?
Well, Jonathan Villar is interesting because the reports yesterday started out with his name being Jonathan Villain. a couple people remarked when the national media can't even get the guy's name right, you got to be concerned. But Jonathan Villar is definitely a plan B if Gio Meyer doesn't really pan out. He struggled a little bit with the bat down in A-ball this year. Villar has got good range, good defensive instincts. Has hit fairly well, so and has got a ton of speed on the base pass. So You know, he's got some value, and if nothing else, it just adds depth to a very important position up the middle for the future for the Astros. So I like getting him, and I think it's a good move on our part. Because even if they both pan out, it just gives us more trade chips in the future. So you can't be upset with getting Jonathan Villar back in that trade.
All right. That's Stephen Higdon from CrawfishBoxes.com. Great stuff, Stephen. Thanks a lot. And if they make some more moves over the weekend, maybe we'll talk again on Monday.
Yeah, hopefully. I'd like to come back on and talk about how we got some more prospects and how we got younger and better.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, Stephen. Great stuff.
All right, well, thank you, guys.
Stephen Higdon, CrawfishBoxes.com. Go check him out if you've never checked him out before, because it's a terrific website.